I just think not enough is being made out of the fact that they knew about the tape and they knew it was on it.
Yeah.
Goodell, if he didn't know what was on that tape, he's a liar. I'm just saying it. He is lying. I think that dude is lying. If you put him up on a lie detector test, that guy would fail.
But
for all these people
to
pretend they didn't know is such f***ing bullshit. It really is. It's such f***ing bullshit. And for him to go on that press conference and pretend otherwise, I was so insulted. The best point that a lot of people have made about this is that this is exactly why he fined and suspended Sean Payton for a season. Payton was like, I didn't know. He's like, well, ignorance is not a whatever. And suspended him for a year. This is the same exact situation, and it's worse. Because he knew, and he's a liar. Roger Goodell has no integrity whatsoever. I really hope somebody calls me or emails me and says I'm in trouble for anything I say about Roger Goodell.
No, I don't. I think
because
it's pretty
safe. If one person says that to me, I'm going public. You leave me alone.
We
the
may
commissioner's
have to
a liar, and I get to talk about that on my podcast. Thank
you.
There
you go.
Call me and say I'm in trouble. I dare you.
Now, everything you heard is why I, the actual owner of the Alaska Cannabis Club, will be dedicating all of my energy toward fighting for freedom and fairness, which begins with legalizing marijuana here in Alaska. And as for this job, well, fuck it. I quit.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And download every episode and more at BasicallyASportsShow.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
That Roger Goodell press conference was sad, if only because it revealed that Roger Goodell has the public speaking ability of a 12-year-old.
We on continuing to improve our lookout on this plan.
Like, it looks
okay,
like...
Okay, so what are you going to do? We're going to continue to improve in this area.
But what
specifically are you going to do? Well, we're going to change our outlook and continue to improve on the future of our plan. Okay.
It looked like, and it sounded like, just like this 12-year-old who just gone to like his first public speaking class and was tasked with giving like his first speech in front of a group of people. That's what it sounded like.
It was – wow, is it bad. On every level. He was a bad public speaker. He said absolutely nothing. He didn't address anything, I thought.
No.
Right.
He just said he threw out a lot of platitudes like, oh, we're going to fix this because we can – and we will, and we're going to, and I don't think anybody walked away from it, A, any more informed about anything they were when they walked in the door, or B, walking away from it thinking, well, that's going to help the league's image.
Like, they really need, if they're not going to get rid of Roger Goodell, then at the very least, they need to get, like, a PR guy, like a media director or someone
I'm
who
pretty
can go
sure
out.
They have that.
Someone who can go out and give these types of speeches and not be Roger Goodell.
Do you guys think that maybe the reason he didn't say anything at all was because legally
they don't have a plan?
Well, that probably too, but maybe he was advised against it from a legal team. Like, you know, don't address anything because I mean, we don't know what kind of lawsuits or shit are going to come out of this. So maybe that's I'm not defending him because
possible.
I thought it was a joke of a press conference.
They're still going to have to face the appeal from Ray Rice soon, so.
Which is going to be all kinds of interesting.
Right, and I'm sure they didn't want to say anything that would compromise their position in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
It's just like, again, because of that whole outstanding thing with Ray Rice, I understand why he didn't go into this, but he kept repeating, like, on the Ray Rice situation, I got it wrong. And
yes.
I'd like to hear him say, like, okay, what was your thought process? Why did you get it wrong? Why did you go so lenient? Like, I just want to know what your thought process was in the whole thing. Because that ESPN Outside the Lines piece really painted that both the Ravens and the NFL in a really negative light. So I guess I'm curious, what's the NFL side of the story? Like, you say you got it wrong. Okay. How? Like, what is your side of the story of why you were so lenient when it came to Ray Rice's punishment?
Because
they're never going to say that.
But they just I can't even get over. I mean, I didn't know that it could really get a whole lot worse than it was. And then the outside line things comes out, and wow. Because it's so clear at this point that they covered it up or at some level, somewhere.
Well, and of course, with the outside the line stuff, the Ravens, of course,
denied everything.
Deny it. And I mean, I just got a thing on my phone. Law enforcement official told AP Ray Rice elevator video was mailed to NFL security chief Jeffrey Miller. Jeffrey Miller issued statement to AP, unequivocally denies that he received a copy of Ray Rice video.
So he's basically saying that the law enforcement officer is either lying or wrong.
Yeah. But see, that's what this whole thing has been.
Mm-hmm.
It's been one side saying a whole lot and the other side saying no. And I mean, we even just pointed out when Roger Goodell didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's like, well, we got it wrong. Well, what exactly was wrong with your investigation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we handled it incorrectly. What did you handle incorrectly? We didn't do it properly. Thank you, Roger.
It was just, like I said, it was a bunch of just, it was Nike speak, except without anything to laugh at, really.
Yeah. I had never really known much about Roger Goodell until this whole thing kind of came out and people started talking about his past. And from what I gather, it seems like he's never going to resign because I think this is basically his dream job. And in his mind, I think he fought tooth and claw for it and he's not giving it up without a fight. Apparently, he first got an internship at the NFL through a letter-writing campaign that he got his father, who was a senator, to spearhead. And when he was named commissioner, again, I think we covered it a week or two ago, it was what? The fifth ballot?
Right.
He finally got in on. Like, he was by far not the unanimous choice of the owners.
No, he had – I think I'd read that he was only able to muster up 17 votes. And well, what's the total they need?
You need 22.
Right, and they finally just kind of gave up, and as a show of unity and solidarity, they came out as it was a unanimous vote, but it was never the case.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the names of the people who were actually going up against Goodell for the commissioner position, because there's one guy who should have gotten the name just on his name alone. And
I know who you're talking about, but I can't think of his name.
I can't think of his name. It's on the tip of my tongue, but it was like the perfect name. I'm just going to try Googling it.
Oh, I see. Let's see. I just saw a thing here that Drew Brees is critical of Roger Goodell.
Yeah. Well, ESPN can't suspend him for 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about, too. Oh, come on
that
now.
That is awful.
Did you hear the podcast, Zach? I was listening to it.
I hadn't had a chance to actually listen to it, but I did read the transcript of it.
I was listening to it, and honestly, after he was done, I dare you to suspend me. I thought, they're not going to do anything about this. It's not that big a deal. It's not even near as bad as some of the things that Olbermann has said on his show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was just that Bill Simmons, because he said, I dare you.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
but come on.
Because he challenged them. If he had just said it, maybe nothing happens.
Here's the thing. Okay, that's fine. If that's the case, then say that's why you did it. Don't say it was because he breached some sort of code of ethics you have as journalists, because that's not what happened. Because what he said was exactly what Keith Olbermann has been saying since the whole thing started.
Mm-hmm.
Olbermann's called Goodell a liar. He said that he needs to be fired. He said everything that Bill Simmons said, and not one thing has happened to him. But Simmons, who didn't do it nearly as articulately as Keith Olbermann did, but said exactly the same thing, everybody agrees with him, and he gets suspended for 3 weeks.
Well, but, God, Simmons gets 3 weeks. Do you remember what Stephen A. Smith got for his domestic violence talk, remember?
What was it, 1 week?
1 week.
He didn't challenge him, though, you see. That's the difference.
That's it. That's what it is.
Yeah,
and
but
I think part of it, too, is because this isn't the first time Simmons has been suspended from ESPN. I think with him in particular, he's risen so quickly and so fast. And I know when they were negotiating his last contract, he had to make a lot of provisions and requests that ESPN had to fulfill or else he would have left. Namely Granlund and some of his editorial freedom with that.
Right.
So I think that they they're trying to just quash him down because they think maybe he's gotten too big for his britches.
Well, here's the thing, though. This is the guy that they hired.
Yeah.
This is who they wanted. This is why they hired him, is for the exact kind of things he's been doing. This is what people like about him.
I found the name. Okay. One of the guys going up against Roger Goodell for the other finalist for the commissioner position when Tagliabue resigned was a guy by the name of Mayo Shattuck III.
Oh, God, yes. He had – I mean, how great would that signature look on a football? Come on.
I mean, come on. Like, how did he not win? Imagine the press conferences, like Mayor Commissioner Shattuck III to address Ray Rice situation.
Yeah, but I mean, this isn't like I was saying. This isn't even the first time Simmons criticized ESPN. I mean, if you remember, I think it was like a year or two ago when Richard Sherman
right.
went after Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Simmons tweeted that this is bad for both of them, and it's actually bad for ESPN. He got suspended from Twitter for 2 whole days.
Yeah, I don't even get that. What kind of punishment is that?
And he also got suspended from Twitter for 2 weeks for getting into a Twitter beef with WEEI in Boston.
Well, like I said, this is the guy they hired. This would be as silly as say, ESPN hiring us to be on ESPN radio and then getting mad because we do exactly the stuff that made them hire us.
Right. Well, this is his job. His job is to put forth opinions.
Yeah.
And especially with his podcast, his job is to be slightly provocative.
And
Simmons can be ridiculous, but saying Goodell is a liar, how many other people have said that?
No, exactly. How many people said that and how many people actually agree with him? I'd wager a lot at this point.
Gotta think it's at least 95% of anybody that you polled would agree with that statement. At least
I have not seen a single poll on the question of should Roger Goodell keep his job. That's in which the yes he should vote has been winning. Every poll I've seen says that you know the people believe he should lose his job because he is untrustworthy. So like. Yeah, okay, maybe he challenged his boss, and he challenged his bosses, and that's what did it in. But honestly, as far as stuff that Bill Simmons has said, this is not anywhere close to being one of the more controversial things he's ever said. This has
If ESPN really wants to go that route, they should scour the archives over the last month of every one of their ESPN radio affiliates across the country.
Right.
How many people would they have to suspend if they found – like how many radio hosts on an ESPN platform across the country have said over the last month that Goodell is a liar or that the NFL is a hypocrite or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Probably a fair amount.
Well, my question is this. Okay. I'm going to go back to Keith Olbermann again. He has eviscerated Goodell numerous times on his show.
He called him a liar.
He called him a liar. Always called him a liar a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And I mean, he is just, you know, you've got to get rid of him. He's got to go for the good of the league. Commissioner, step down. I mean, I could just come up with clip after clip after clip of him being far more harsh towards Goodell than Simmons was.
No, this is ESPN getting in a dick waving contest.
I think it's that, and I think
that's exactly what this is.
I'll tell you another thing. I think it is too. Now, you know, I think that there are a lot more people that listen to Bill Simmons' podcast than watch Keith Olbermann's show.
Probably,
and they can't have one of their.
I mean, especially the Monday ones with Sal,
because of Sal, right? They can't have one of their most popular podcasts out there bashing the commissioner because there's such a huge conflict of interest here.
Well, but it is and it isn't, because over this thing, the group that's done some of the best reporting on this has been ESPN.
Yeah, it's
has
I've been actually
outside
been
the lines. It's been Keith Olbermann.
That outside the lines report on the Ravens absolutely shocked me. Not just because of what it revealed, but because ESPN of all places was the one to publish it.
Right, because a lot of people had said, well, ESPN's going to back them through the whole thing, and then as to prove a point, they've gone after the NFL and they've really done a very commendable job. Now all of a sudden, when somebody goes after them. It may be a little too harshly in the way that it was presented. It may be a little too self-serving in a certain way. They decide to come down on him for it. It's such a weird dichotomy of things.
It's just hypocritical, because if you're going to suspend Simmons, you've got to suspend Olbermann. And maybe not Bob Lay, because that was I don't know that Bob Lay's called Goodell a liar or anything either, but
I mean, he presented the facts.
Right.
Without saying it.
The point being is that you have two ESPN personalities who have essentially said the exact same thing. One of them has gone completely unpunished. The other one is suspended for 3 weeks. I've got to think that it's simply a matter of, because it was Simmons, he's more popular than Olbermann. I mean, Simmons, I don't know how many people listen to that podcast, but I've got to think it's well into the hundreds of thousands, if not higher than that.
Listen to the podcast, read his column.
Yeah, I mean, it might even be in the millions for all I know.
Because I think Simmons has called Goodell out in his columns over the last 2 weeks, too.
Yeah.
At least in his Friday mailbags.
I mean, I'll be the first to admit that it probably wasn't the wisest choice to go ahead and come at me, I dare you. But I think he knew what was going to happen. I think that once he said it, he knew that that's exactly what they were going to do. But
I think it's also him calling them out, and then not just saying that Goodell's a liar. It's Goodell's a liar. It's effing BS.
Yeah,
he did that a couple times. But it gets bleeped out because they edit it. But
right, because no one knew what he said.
Yeah,
the whole thing just it's ridiculous. And I don't know what to make – and I can only hope that the suspension was just due to him because he called out his bosses, and it had nothing to do with the NFL so much as it was just his bosses trying to make a point that you can't call out management like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's fair if that is the reasoning behind it, but that's not the reasoning they gave, you see.
Yeah, exactly. That's not the reasoning they gave. And again, no, Zach's right. You know, ESPN's been doing some of the most hard-hitting reporting on this, and it's been commendable. It's been a pleasant surprise, but stuff like this makes me worry. Like, I don't know, is it getting to the point now where the business side of ESPN is now going to tell the journalistic side of ESPN to cut it off because of the ties they have to the NFL? Is this a situation where maybe the journalistic side of ESPN was allowed to do what they're supposed to do? But now that they've, you know, maybe hit a bit too hard, the business side is going to rein them in because of the connections they have with the league.
Well, here's my thing. Okay, we know Outside the Lines has done a great job, but have we seen – I mean, how much of this has made it out to the big platforms like SportsCenter? Did they air the Outside the Lines piece on SportsCenter? I mean, that's my question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they went over it again on SportsCenter, because when something like that happens, it's obviously the news of the day. But here's – like, for those that – don't know what we're talking about. This is the transcript. I really hope somebody calls me or emails me that says I'm in trouble, because if one person says that to me, I'm going public. You leave me alone. The commissioner's a liar, and I get to talk about that on my podcast. Please call me and say I'm in trouble. I dare you.
I'm waiting for the thing he said he's going to go public.
That's what I was just got. So I was just going to bring that up. What does he have?
Well, see, and that's what I mean too, because that's why I brought up his contract negotiations. Something like this, especially because he gets 3 weeks for this, and like I mentioned, Stephen A. Smith, who said, I think, a lot worse things, gets 1 week. But, you know, but that's Stephen A. Smith's job. Well, guess what? This is Simmons' job, too. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this would be something that may push him over an edge and actually make him leave ESPN.
Well, he's not going to be back on the basketball show this year, on whatever they call that silly basketball show.
Did they already say that?
He's not back, no.
Is it NBA Countdown? Is that what it's called?
Might be.
But I think the other thing that was happening is this NBA season, he was getting the Grantland NBA show
on
ESPN.
Oh.
And that's supposed to debut like a week after his suspension ends.
I thought that was a podcast. I didn't realize it was a television show.
No, it's going to be on TV. Him and Jalen Rose.
I don't think he's going to, once his contract's up, he won't be back. Because
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets out of the contract early. Because I know when things – I remember he was pretty jilted when they banned him on Twitter for a couple days and for the first take stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a full 3 weeks for something on his podcast. The podcast – of all the things that Simmons does, he's been a more staunch defender of his podcast than anything else. Because they've tried to come down on him for editorial stuff before, and he's been pissed about it and tried to wrestle back more of his own editorial powers over it. So,
do you think he's big enough now to go out on his own?
Oh yeah,
without a network.
Without a network,
you know what I mean? Where he was just Grantland.com. Yeah, but Peter King, God, what a show that guy is. But
The thing that's hard now is now that he has Grantland all set up and it's through ESPN,
yeah.
And I'm sure all the writers and editors, all their contracts are not with Simmons. I'll guarantee they're with ESPN proper. He could try and breach his contract and just leave.
I don't know
where he would go. I think he would have to latch onto a different network.
Well, that's the thing.
All his infrastructure to be independent is still under ESPN's umbrella.
I even read a quote from him today where this was in regards to the basketball show, where he said that when his contract comes up, if ESPN loses the NBA, yeah. I want to go where the NBA is.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's been happy there since he started. I think that he's never come right out and said it, but you can just kind of tell that he's not as crazy about working there as I think they would like him to be.
Because they do stifle him to a degree.
Right, exactly.
Because they have to.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I don't think he'll.
But at the same time, like, do they really need to? Again, this is the guy they hired. Like, you don't. I'd think that if you hire Bill Simmons, you hire him with the purpose of not stifling him.
Exactly. You're hiring that guy. It would be as silly as hiring Howard Stern and then getting mad because he talked about sex on the air.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that Zach's right. It's because he dared them to do it. Mm-hmm. But I want him to go public. I really want to hear what he has to say. I think that would be fascinating.
Yeah. Maybe he'll write a book. That's probably, you know, one that's not about basketball that I may actually read.
Oh, you never read the basketball book?
No.
Oh, it was really good.
I couldn't.
It was really good. I'm not kidding.
I'm sure it's well put together, and I like Simmons' writing style. I couldn't read a book like that about basketball. How many chapters are on the Celtics?
It wasn't a Celtic heavy. It wasn't as Celtic heavy.
Is it like 17 Celtics chapters and then
no,
one on the rest of the NBA a sentence about the Lakers?
No, and believe me, I, as a Lakers fan and a Celtics hater, that would have been the first thing I noticed, and I never felt that at all. He was very fair about it because you know that in his heart of hearts, the number one player on his quote-unquote pyramid would have been Larry Bird. And I want to say he put Bird at number seven.
How many spots did he give to Larry Bird? Was it just the one spot or did he give him like...
Just the one.
Not like 13 different spots?
No, just the one. Just the one.
Okay.
I'll be honest, the first part about it where he talked about just basically basketball and history throughout the years with basketball was really good. When he got
invented
into the...
by a Canadian. I just want to...
When he got into all the stuff about each player, it got a little bit boring at that point because unless you really cared about the stats and who you thought was best and this and that, then it just wasn't that interesting. But the first half of it was really good.
I do have to take issue with Bill Simmons, though, of his hockey, his somewhat multi-personality disorder situation that he has when it comes to hockey. When the Bruins sucked, he was like, the NHL is for low-class goons. And then when the Bruins, you know, started winning,
yep.
It's like, I've been a Bruins fan my whole life.
No, okay. To mention that, he has been – I've heard him be more specific about it before. I think he wrote a column about it.
He did.
Where it wasn't necessarily that the Bruins were sucking. It's he didn't agree with ownership and
well,
the GM at the time.
Well, the owner's still a jackass.
Right. So he was getting – kind of pissed at the Bruins and down on the Bruins, and then the lockout happened. Mm-hmm. And of course, when the NBA, when the NHL goes away for a full season, mm-hmm. and he loves the NBA more than anything else,
right?
When the NHL comes back again a year later, for somebody like him, it's going to be even harder to. And then he moved to LA and he bought Kings season tickets the year that they happened to win the Stanley Cup. Good timing by him, I guess. And I guess now, if you listen to his podcast, his daughter is really into the team. She got a Qatar jersey and whatever. So.
Yeah, he's
the youth being just indoctrinated into this mind-numbing filth.
That is King's fandom.
Hey, yeah, but you know, there's two ways to look at that. Yeah, there's that, but there's also you've got a young kid that's going to be really into hockey, which I think is a good thing for the sport.
Yeah,
so.
You know, there's
should have lived in Orange County.
Like it would have killed her to be a Ducks fan. I understand, but yeah.
No, it's a process of location. I understand that.
But he
got really lucky with them winning the cup the first year he had the ticket.
Well,
sure
you know that seems to be how Kings fandom works. Everyone conveniently became a fan the year that they won the cup.
No, it wasn't. But he actually bought season tickets before the year.
Oh,
because
okay.
That was the year that the NBA was going to have their everyone thought that the NBA was going to pull an NHL and cancel the season.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so he wanted to fill something in the time because he had the Clippers tickets that he wasn't going to be able to use because they would be not there. So they bought the Kings tickets, and they happened to win the cup that year.
Yeah, the another thing about Bill Simmons, and this isn't actually – I actually don't find this annoying. I kind of find it funny. And it's gone away. It's gone away recently because of the recent success of Boston area sports.
Yeah.
But whenever, you know, Celtics would lose or the Red Sox would lose or the Bruins would lose, he'd go on like this rant where he'd kind of get like all down on like analyze the failures of the sports teams through like the history of New England.
Right. Well, that was his shtick.
This really depressing kind of view of New England where it's right. Like, we are doomed forever to plow unfertile soil as Puritans. And we are not allowed to have happiness because what New England is about.
But that was what he built his career on early on.
Yeah.
It just happened to be that when he finally signed on with ESPN, that it was the right timing where Boston
all
suddenly
Boston
became
teams won.
See,
right.
Was just bad timing for everybody else.
Timing for Simmons. My issue with this fandom, I'm okay with the hockey thing because I totally understand how losing a season you can lose interest. It happened to me. Mm-hmm. My problem with him when it comes to the Boston sports is I will never in my life ever believe that he was as big a Patriots fan as he claims to be all these years. Before they started winning Super Bowls, I just won't believe that.
He goes into detail about like the '80s and '90s Patriots. That were not the best.
I mean, I don't think, to be perfectly honest, though, I don't think anyone was a hardcore Patriots fan before they started winning those
Super Bowls. Yeah, I mean, I can talk about the 80s and 90s Patriots. You had Irving Fryer and Steve Grogan was a quarterback for a while. You had Tony Eason.
All I know is Drew Bledsoe.
you had guys like, who were some of the running backs back then? You had the
Curtis Martin.
I'm thinking back in the old Pat Patriot uniform days.
Wasn't he there for like?
He was.
A
yeah,
year?
Curtis Martin was there for a while. Yeah, huh. Yeah. But there, you know, they had John Hanna was a great defensive or an offensive lineman. You know, you had Andre mm-hmm. Tippett.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, he talked about him and all that. But as I've just shown, that's not that difficult to do.
Well, but I think unlike a lot of cities that have NFL franchises, I think the Patriots are still number three in Boston,
behind the Celtics and
Celtics and the Red Sox.
Yeah, probably. I'd almost say in certain pockets they're probably number four.
Right. Well, in certain pockets, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the blue collar part of Boston really loves the Bruins,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that always set the Bruins apart that I always enjoyed. But now that they've become successful,
the same douchebags who are Red Sox fans are Bruins fans, and it's just all terrible.
Back in Bobby Orr.
You know, can I go on a Bobby Orr rant?
Sure,
you may.
I've got nothing against Bobby Orr as a player. I respect all of his accomplishments. I respect how he was able to essentially redefine the defensive position. But anyone who says that Bobby Orr was a better player than Wayne Gretzky can blow it out their ass.
I agree with that.
I'm tired of hearing it.
Talking to. You don't disrespect Bobby Orr. You don't respect the black and the gold, the bee hub. How dare you insult the bees?
It's not even Boston fans.
I don't think that's more Boston or New York. I'm sorry. It gets mixed together. It's the same.
It's not even so much all these northeastern metropolitan centers sound the same to someone from California.
Yeah.
But the
Bronx is a little bit more, hey, what's up?
You got to get you got to remember that when you're talking when you're trying to do Boston, it's a ka, a ba, you know, that kind
of stuff. Park the card, have a yard, hit the ball, wicked hat at a Fenway Park.
Right.
I know.
That's it. There you go.
The back end sucks.
It's not even just Boston fans. It's like just talking to like older hockey fans like in my family, like my uncle or my dad. Anytime, you know, we have this discussion about hockey, I'm like, Wayne Gretzky is by far the greatest player who ever played. And they're like, oh, you know, Bobby Orr was able to do so much as a defenseman. Yeah, maybe he was. Yeah, maybe he was. But, you know, at this point, you're just arguing counterfactual scenarios. And it's like, look, no, Bobby Orr, not better than Gretzky. You know, I'm not saying that means Bobby Orr's bad. I'm not saying that at all. But it's not like basketball where you can make a legitimate argument for multiple players as being, you know, the quote-unquote best of all time.
I was just going to bring that up. And in the four major sports.
In hockey. Yeah, exactly. In the four major sports, hockey probably has the most clear-cut best of all time because Gretzky didn't just rewrite the record books. He blew up the record books.
Interesting counter-argument that I've heard against Bobby Orr When was Bobby Orr's greatest seasons?
The expansion era?
Right. They doubled the league in size, you know, over the years that they introduced the first expansion teams. The argument is that he played in those expansion years and played against what was ultimately a watered-down league.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because, I mean, the way that they did it was the new six expansion teams were all put into the Western Conference so that it would guarantee one of the expansion teams would make the Stanley Cup final. It just so happened that the St. Louis Blues made the cup final in their first 4 years of existence and were swept in all four of those cup finals.
Let me ask you this about
and that famous Bobby Orr diving goal was one against the Blues to win the cup.
But I was going to ask, okay, with the Blues. Now, granted, I'm assuming that a lot of their games they got to play against the other expansion teams, but were they above 500? Or was it a case of where it was just the best of a bunch of bad teams made the finals? Or were they actually...
For those 4 years, I honestly think it was the best of a bunch of bad teams. The expansion teams really didn't start to come into their own as actual teams until...
Probably with Philly, right?
The mid to late 70s. Yeah, with Philly. When you had the Broad Street Bullies, that was when they started to come around.
Bobby Clark and Dave Schultz and... Who was their
goalie? The first year...
Bernie Perron.
Bernie Perron, that's what I thought, yeah.
First year with 12 teams was the 1967-68 season. The St. Louis Blues that year didn't even win the Western Division. The Flyers were first, the LA Kings were second, and the Blues were third. Four out of the six teams in each conference made the playoffs. The Blues had a record of 27-31-16.
Okay. They weren't even 500.
That was my question.
Even the division champion Philadelphia Flyers, they were 31-32-11.
Yeah, but within, what was it, you say, 67?
Yeah. Right.
When did the Flyers start? I mean, because they won the cup in, 75 and 76?
Yeah.
Right?
Mid-70s is when they really got going.
So when did they get good, though? Was it like, say, 74, probably somewhere in there, 73, where they were actually a good team?
I'd say around that, yeah.
Because they won two straight cups, if I remember right.
Yeah,
it was in the mid-70s. I want to say 75, 76.
So the Blues finished third that year. The Blues finished first in the next year. They went 37-25-14. Edging out the Oakland Seals.
The Beta Sharks.
The Beta Sharks.
The Blues went on to again lose to the Montreal Canadiens in a sweep. 69-70.
Well, that's because you've basically got an expansion team going up against like the powerhouse Montreal Canadiens.
74-75 is when the Flyers won the first two cups, or their two cups, yeah. Yes. Okay.
So then the third season, the Blues go 37-27-12. And of course, again... They lose to the Bruins in the...
They lost to the Bruins in the dive shot series.
Yes.
Time out. Back up before you even go a step further. Hold on a fucking second here.
What's up?
They're making a big deal about an overtime goal in a series that was 3-0 already?
Yes.
For fuck's sake. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
It
wasn't four straight finals. It was only three. Because the next year... to geographically realign things,
right,
and I guess help out these other teams. They've moved the Blackhawks. It was because the Sabres and Canucks came in, and they put the Sabres and Canucks in the Eastern Division.
The Canucks were in the East.
Yeah.
Then
the Blackhawks came over to the West, and the Blackhawks ran roughshod. They went 49-20-9. And they went to the finals and lost in seven games to the Habs.
But look at 72 here. You've got the Bruins against the Rangers, both teams from the East. How the fuck did that happen?
What year was this? 72?
72, yeah.
No, that was after they realigned things.
Says Eastern Conference, but like it's
the
got
Bruins beat the
Rangers.
Let me
4-2.
See the playoffs. Oh, they changed the playoff format.
Okay.
They put everyone in a bracket. So they put the Eastern 1 seed and the Eastern 4 seed would play the Western 2 and the Western 3 seed.
Okay.
The winner of that. So they basically took the regular matchups and then put one in each conference. This was probably because the Western Conference was getting its ass kicked every time.
Yeah, I was gonna. That was just a way of assuring that you were gonna get two good teams in the finals, basically.
Right. So the Blues end up getting swept by the Bruins again in the semifinal. The Blackhawks were swept by the Rangers, and then the Bruins beat the Rangers.
Wow, Scotty Bowman's won a few Stanley Cups, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, just a few.
You know.
What's that? 1, 2, 6.
Oh, he's won a bunch.
I'm just talking as a coach.
Yeah, I know. With the Habs and the Red Wings.
Yeah. Wow. Yep. Not bad. But I don't know where we were at with that. But
was he? Didn't he?
Oh yeah. No.
Yeah. Didn't. Yes. Didn't he coach those Penguins teams?
Did he?
The '90s teams with the. He won it. 92. Yep, he was the coach of the Penguins in 92, sure enough.
How about that? There you go.
Mike Keenan coaching your Chicago Blackhawks back then.
Mike Keenan.
Jean-Claude Van Damme saved the day.
I love that movie. When he gets into the karate fight, the mascot.
Like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Jean-Claude Van Damme fighting a giant plush penguin.
In Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final.
In Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, yes.
But Mike Keenan, I got to give it to Mike Keenan. I don't think anyone milked a Stanley Cup victory quite like he did.
Oh, God, no.
He was still getting work in the mid-2000s after it had been abundantly clear that he didn't know what he was doing anymore.
I think he won the Gagarin Cup in the KHL this last season.
Oh, hey. Well, bring him back over to the NHL. He's a hero in
Metallurg.
He'll be coaching somebody by February.
Or no, sorry, it's not Metallurg. That's the team name. It's Magnitogorsk. Russia.
Wow. Powerhouse, they are.
That sounds like a city I want to live in. It sounds like the most industrial, rundown, post-Soviet location you could imagine in Eastern Europe.
Let me tell you where Magnitogorsk is.
It does not sound pleasant at all.
It is in the location of Magnitogorsk in the Chelyabinsk Oblast.
Man, those 80s Islanders teams were just dominant. I'm looking at it. They had... The closest anybody came in those four straight to beating them was the Flyers took them to six in the first time around. Then it was 4-1 in 81, and then two sweeps in 82 and 83. Holy shit.
But, yeah, no, that famous Bobby Orr picture of him flying, that was in a game that was not nearly as memorable as
it is.
They make that goal like that he did that in Game 7 in overtime. And it was they were going to win that series even if he doesn't score. Let's say that the Blues win that game. They're still going to win the next one. Big deal.
Yeah.
I'm not taking anything away from Bobby Orr.
Trying to desecrate the legacy of the great Bobby Orr, number four. How dare you?
Well, you know.
Hey. What do French Canadians call Bobby Orr?
What?
Bobby Whore.
Let me show you
a great way to go full circle on our conversation here, okay?
Yes.
Bobby Orr. Was the number in the banners that Larry Bird looked at every night when they were playing the national anthem for inspiration. How about that?
Have you guys seen the Washington Capitals Winter Classic uniforms?
No. Do you have a link?
Yes, I do.
You haven't seen them?
No, I have not.
They're...
Let's have a look.
They're fullbacks.
Yeah, I'm not liking them.
Here's what I like. I like the W. I like the monument in the middle. I like the three stars over the W.
Yeah.
I dislike the Capitals going across the front of the W.
I agree.
The shoulder stripes would be neat... If it wasn't, it's on the Stadium Series template from last year, where the panel that's up there, it's narrow at the neck and then gets wider as you go down the shoulders.
Yeah.
And so the stripes look weird. Like if it was a straight yoke and they were just straight stripes that went a little bit further down the sleeve maybe, it'd be cool. But as far as faux backs go, this is fine.
I think if you get rid of the Capitals, okay, leave the
W. White outline around the W also.
Nah, I'm okay with it just being straight up blue.
I don't know.
That it's dark too dark.
Going up that, there's too dark a blue going up a too dark a red. It's not.
You need a white outline, I think.
But if you do that, it loses a lot of its faux back look, I think. It makes it look a little too modern. But, we'll go with that. But I think if you lose the Capitals and get rid of the shoulder stripes, it'd be really sharp, I think.
I like it. I have some reservations with it. I think it's a bit too muddled because you've got the dark blue W on the dark red, and you've got the capital script across the W. But all in all, I kind of like it, if only because I think it adds more logos to the Capitals' repertoire to use, because the Capitals are a team that I think – are in desperate need of tools in the toolbox when it comes to their branding.
Yeah.
I like their alternate, the Weagle logo.
Yes. Yeah.
I like that, but that's about the only logo they've ever had in their history that I actually like.
Like if they take the W with the stars and going forward make some sort of rebrand, and base it around that and maybe modernize it, like update it a little bit, make it cleaner, I could go for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you guys telling me you don't like the current updated version of the old 70s uniforms?
No. They look like clown suits.
I've always hated
that script logo.
I always hated the original script logo. The new script logo is an admirable attempt to modernize it, but at the same time, I think it just results in polishing a turd.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good attempt, but the concept itself – and they make – what is it? It's the L that they make the hockey – no, it's the T that they make the hockey stick, right?
Yeah.
When it should be the L, and it just annoys me.
No, it's – and the thing with the Capitals is they don't really have a diverse uniform history.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to Winter Classic type things. The only other thing they could have done is
– The 90s?
They could have done the red version of the white jersey they wore against Pittsburgh, which is just their old red jersey. But they had that for a long time, and they went from that to the blue, black, and copper, which I love. I own one of those. I love that.
I never liked that.
I love that. But that's not Winter Classic material.
No, that's Stadium Series and LA material, honestly.
Right. And they went from that to they changed their third jersey to the primary jersey,
the black
one with the Capitol dome on it, which is it's fine in a vacuum, I guess.
Yeah, I just thought it was a downgrade. Like,
yeah.
I'm gonna admit I was never a fan of the slate blue and the black and the copper. But if
those,
you're going
those
to
spoke to me as a child. If you're Bondra, Joe Juno, Adam Oates.
Joe Juno, God, there's a name from the past.
Olaf Kolzing.
Yeah, Oli the goalie.
Man, yeah.
But I think if you're going to go with that scheme, I much prefer the one, their original primaries with the white and the blue with the eagle on the front. That black one just didn't work for me because it took what was – the one thing that color scheme had going for it was that it was kind of bold and exciting.
Yeah.
And then that black jersey just kind of took that exciting, bold color scheme and made it just boring and dull. And it's like, if you're going to have this color scheme, why would you mute it like that?
Yeah. Anyway, basically what I'm saying is they didn't have a whole lot to just do a straight throwback. And this works. And somebody else mentioned it, but because they're playing in a baseball stadium, it's very – it's baseball-y, kind of. It has sort of a baseball-type feel to the jersey in a
you
way.
You think?
Kinda.
Okay.
Maybe
I like. I just.
The socks.
I just put the link in my. I think that these are my favorite Capitals jerseys, and I will be the first to admit, I like these just because they're what I grew up with.
Right. This was the other option they could have had is made the red version of that.
Right.
Because that's what they wore in their Winter Classic.
You know what? I'd be okay with them going for the red version of that if they brought back the white pants.
Oh God, no! I guess it would have been okay for one single game.
I don't. What was it, Vancouver, when they did the what was it? What were they called? Like the Millionaires or whatever.
The Vancouver Millionaires.
They had
the
white pants. I thought looked okay.
Well, they were vintage white.
Vintage whites.
Okay, well
they were beige.
Yeah, that's true.
this is just ridiculous. Yeah, this is what they need to throw back to. This is how the Capitals should do Winter Classic.
Okay, let's see here.
No. No, the white pants are just so bad. They're so bad.
I want to say those coexisted with the copperalls that the Flyers wore.
The Flyers and the Whalers.
There was another team that wore those?
Yeah, the Whalers were the only other team to join them on that little experiment.
The Flyers
next do the Winter Classic, which I'm sure will be soon because screw you, NBC. They need to wear the Cooperalls.
Oh, my God, yes.
I demand this.
Oh, okay. Here's a picture of the Hartford Whalers wearing their Cooperalls.
The Cooperalls were so bad.
There's the Hartford Whalers. This was the only other team to join the
This is
the Flyers'
version of Chicago White Sox short shorts.
You know, granted, I'm not saying that these look good by any definition, but of the two – Hartford's don't look nearly as bad as Philadelphia's.
Well, they've got the stripe going, which helps.
They look like they're wearing Adidas warm-up pants.
But they had the logistical problem of when you fell down, you slid a long distance.
And they also weren't padded. So if you took a shot to the thigh.
Oh, so they didn't just put these over their hockey pants?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
No, they didn't.
Oh, God.
You can tell looking at them, like you don't actually see the bulge of the padding underneath.
Yeah, you're right.
No, that's why they got rid of them. Like, not only did you slide a distance, but if you went to go block a shot and you got it in your thigh, you felt it.
So I'm looking at
there's an old New England Whalers jersey on the photobucket page.
I'm looking at the Chicago Blackhawks uniform history to see what they would – if they're going to have to make a faux back or if they could use something older.
Uh-huh.
And at first I thought, well, is there a white version of the Winter Classic version jersey they had before?
No, I don't think there isn't.
So I don't know. They could go with their original uniforms, those black and white ones.
The black and white ones, yeah. I'd go
with all
that
the stripes.
Way. I'd go that way because I
– Or they could do the ones where it looks like a football jersey with just the number on the front.
I'd go with the black and white because, you know what, Brooklyn has made it work. Brooklyn's got it. Brooklyn made it trendy. Or, jump on that bandwagon.
I would like the black and white. Are they home or away?
They would be away. Did you – this is what I'm talking about. These are their original jerseys.
I like the black and white. I think that would look sharp. Yeah, it's the same page I'm on, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess the only other thing they could do – and they won't go with the football version because they'll want the logo on there. They also made a version of the football jersey with the logo and a roundel on the front. Otherwise, the Blackhawks look like the Blackhawks for, you know, every other year since 1955.
Well,
I'd go with the original one, honestly. I'd go black and white.
I mean, cash it on that Brooklyn that has, money. That's the only one that actually has, like, a unique look to it.
I don't know. I'm looking at this the one with this black, red, and kind of beige or whatever. That's what I'm betting on.
Well, that's what they wore before.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, that was their first Winter Classic. So they can't wear that again.
Detroit at Wrigley Field.
They can't wear that again because they've got to milk it, essentially. They've got to make it.
Right. I say the black and white. I think that's a good bet.
That one's definitely an interesting one.
So do you guys remember the
abandoned
Washington Capitals logo?
Yeah. After,
so this was what the Washington Capitals planned on going to. Back in the early 2000s.
Weren't they going to do it in the lockout season?
Yes, they were.
They were going to introduce it in the lockout season, decided not to.
And that was probably a wise choice.
That thing's awful. That lifeless, soulless eye.
Right.
I'm trying to find the uniforms that went with them, but unfortunately...
I think NHL uniforms used to have it.
They used to have it, but they got rid of a lot... NHL uniforms is a great site, but like one of the recent updates got rid of a lot of the side uniforms that they used to feature on.
Yeah,
it.
They used to have like a bunch of the
prototypes and
right.
Yeah, it's not on there. Yeah,
but
I forget where. Well, it wouldn't. But it wouldn't be. You had to look for it because it wasn't on the team's page. It was on like one of the season pages.
It was on the season page and it was like a special thing. It's like click here for like a bonus content, but they stopped doing that, so
I can't find it. Well, they used to have the Nordiques thing too.
I've got the perfect for the Flyers. They go with the old Philadelphia Quakers jersey.
See, that's what a lot of people thought they were going to do, and then so
I was just kidding.
No, there are 100 Flyers fakes that look exactly like that Quakers jersey, but instead of saying Quakers, they say Flyers. And there are hundreds of people. I see whenever they show a Flyers game on TV, there are hundreds of people that bought those things thinking, oh, these are going to be the jerseys, and no one ever made them.
Oh.
Like, they're not officially licensed. They were never going to wear
these
things.
There's one of them.
Yeah. And this was, like, for a long time, this was like, no, these are going to be their Winter Classic jerseys. And they weren't. I mean, they ended up with something kind of similar. I guess similar in the fact that it was orange with a black yoke. And they're making that their third jersey this year because the Flyers are lazy.
Which doesn't – I don't like that Winter Classic jersey for the Flyers because
– Oh, the vintage white looks dumb.
The vintage white looks dumb, especially against the orange.
And they already have an orange jersey.
They already have an orange jersey, and the Flyers – I think are one of those teams that should never wear like an old fashioned traditional hockey like template.
They've their entire history. They have those shoulder stripes
mm-hmm.
that go all the way down to the cuff.
Yeah,
I mean the simple thing to do is just to make a black version of the current home,
mm-hmm.
exchanging the black for the orange.
Well, the Medicine Hat Tigers do
which
that.
Which they've done. Yeah. But I guess that was too easy. I don't know. And they did that kind of in the '90s already.
Well,
unfortunately, those jerseys 90s, ended up taking over, and they were – I don't like those.
Those 90s alternates were fine as alternates. The problem was when they started wearing them all the time.
Yeah. And then they made the orange one with the 3D.
Oh, that 3D.
When was that?
Oh, Jesus.
Mid-2000s, 2003, I want to say, 2004?
Yeah, 2002.
Oh,
2002, all right. Yeah. It's got this metallic accents on it. And,
Greg, you're going to hate this when you see it.
Okay, I got to see it. I'm trying to find it on the page here, but I can't find it. Okay. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst part about that was actually on the boards when those things hit. Everyone started making concepts using that as the base. Like, this is such a good modernization. People should – this should be what they base their look on.
God.
Like, no.
And then they had those awful Edge jerseys.
Well, the Edge jerseys, they just were a victim of, like, the template nature of it.
The template that everyone was believed, no, we can't do certain things. And then when they figured out, oh, you were lying to us.
Well, it didn't help that Boston came out with a traditional –
right.
Uniform right
hell,
from the
get-go. San Jose went from a modern thing to a traditional look.
Yeah. And everyone who was told, oh, we can't do regular stripes.
Hemstripes. So the Maple Leafs come out without hemstripes, and they're like, hey, you told us we couldn't do hemstripes. Well, we can.
So yeah.
Well, speaking of uniforms, are the Eagles going to go with the all-white look all season?
Probably.
I would assume. I mean, at least early on while it's hot.
Yeah,
probably because
when it starts to get colder, they'll probably put the black jersey on.
I don't think we're going to see any other color pants because if Nike can't replicate that green in their matte jersey material, then I don't see them being able to replicate that green in the matte pants. And you know what? Again,
pants?
They can't do the shiny pants because it's all matte now because that Nike's matte. So, again, Nike, what the hell? You couldn't figure out dark green and teal?
Guess not.
You know, God, I guess if this actually gets them to the point where they switch to Kelly green, then it'll be a net gain.
Like, I think so.
If they just go, you know what, screw it. Nike can make Kelly green, and then they just go with it.
Well, see, I mean, I know that this is not a popular opinion, but I love the Eagles in that all-white look. I think that's their best look, easy. Because
the problem I have with it is the problem I have with their look in general is that their look is so bland because they have all their colors are so dark that on that all-white look, it just looks like a white uniform with just muddled stripes and numbers.
Yeah, but I was just curious about that because I think they've worn it at home and on the road now because we know they can't do the green jersey, so I just thought they'd go with the black at home, but I'm glad they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, speaking of Pennsylvania teams and jerseys, we're jump back to hockey for a second. Did you see the Flyers alternate, Greg?
No, I have not.
They're thrown back to the Mario Lemieux black and gold.
The Flyers are?
Oh, sorry, the Penguins.
I was going to say, why would the Flyers go back to a Mario Lemieux era jersey?
I don't know.
But the
Penguins look like the Penguins should have always looked.
Yeah, they should just...
None of this Vegas gold garbage.
They should just throw those things out and keep the alternates. Have you got a link?
I'm trying to find it.
Apparently, Mario Lemieux hates athletic gold, so I was surprised that this actually went ahead.
That was what we were led to believe for all those years, that he hated that and we would never see it again, and that's why they changed to Vegas gold in the first place.
And started wearing double blue all the time?
Well, I mean, it's not my favorite color either, but there's no denying that uniform just looks better with the athletic gold.
All my pictures.
Okay, here it is. I found it.
By the way, the new Ducks uniform, seeing him on the ice? Choice. Very good.
Okay.
There we go. New Penguins alternates.
Oh, see, that's so much better. So much better.
Yep.
That's an awesome look.
Yep. It's one of those things where, like, you get so used to seeing the Penguins in black and khaki.
Well, it was just so weird that the Penguins were the only Pittsburgh team to not be those specific shades.
Exactly.
Like, that's a Pittsburgh look.
It sure is.
And so it's weird, like, when you see it, you're like, wow. I had forgotten how good the Penguins could look.
Yeah, that was a great look.
The only thing that scares me about certain things like this Wait till we get 20 years from now and we start having throwbacks to the Edge templates.
You know, I want to say...
Because the Penguins won a cup in it, so I guarantee you we'll see it at least somewhere down the road again.
Like,
because I have no doubts that this will become the primary in at least 3 years.
Kids who are like 10 now, when they're like 20 in 10 years, are going to be like, oh, those were sweet.
Yeah, the Penguins should always be Vegas gold.
Yeah. You know, I want to say it's not going to happen, but I see kids who, like, fondly remember, like, well, those Angels abominations.
Oh, my God, there are so many people that love those things. I can't get over it.
I've told you the many stories of how many times I just want to knock those hats off all these kids' heads because they don't know. They don't understand.
How can you look at
it? You weren't there watching it.
You weren't there, man.
How can you look at a team that has had literally a perfect uniform look, except for that one time, and think those are the best ones of the bunch?
No.
Those things were horrible.
People do it.
The Periwinkle years.
Ugh.
Yeah, who thought Periwinkle was...
Disney.
Yeah. Well,
look, Disney, you're very good at financing sports franchises. Please do not try to run them.
I don't know. Like, they had that very...
Keep giving ESPN all the capital you need so ESPN can do their thing. Thank you for funding the Angels a World Series. Thank you for helping the Ducks get to a Western Conference or a Stanley Cup final that one time. But stay out of everything else, and please.
Definitely... Oh, I kind of liked that Disney on Ice opening that the Ducks had.
No. If there was one video I could scrub from existence, it would be that one.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I still like the Iceman cometh.
I think I used that.
But I like him for precisely the reason that he didn't make it through the first period.
Yes, yeah.
I think I used the Disney on Ice thing for the Ducks in the opening of the show one time. I can't remember.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, okay.
I think you did, yeah.
The French guy, the French candle guy was talking, I think.
Yeah.
What's his name? Lemaire?
I don't know.
It was funny.
The Beast's not my bag.
I don't know. Anyway,
so you went to a Ducks, I guess, what would you call it?
Training
preseason?
Camp.
Preseason?
Training camp, right.
Training camp. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's practice.
So
that's hardcore, man.
It's just nice to, you know, because it was the first day I was going to be driving down that way. And I'm like, practice is open to the public. I'm going to show up. So it's nice to see, you know, the players back on the ice again and feel the chill of the rink. Guys.
What?
Oh, wait, it's an NFL guy. Let me guess. It's going to be – can I just go with the team? Oh, all right.
No.
Tom Brady wasn't arrested for his –
It's baseball.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Orioles and Yankees are tied at 5 going to the bottom of the ninth. Due up third in the inning. Number 2, Derek Jeter.
Is this his last at-bat?
This is scripted. I will not believe anything else. Major League Baseball has scripted this game. Derek Jeter's final at-bat in Yankee Stadium, a walk-off hit. And you will puke your eyes out for the next 3 days until the season's over.
I guess ESPN needs something to masturbate to now that the Yankees are actually eliminated from the playoffs.
And now that the NFL's in trouble, it just seems kind of dirty to masturbate to the NFL now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who are they playing? The Orioles got like a 35-game lead.
Well, like honestly, it doesn't.
The only thing the Orioles are playing for, I think they're like 2.5 behind the Angels.
Okay.
Home field.
I mean, I would believe that it was scripted because when Michael Strahan broke the single-season sack record in the NFL, didn't Brett Favre more or less lie down for him?
To call that a sack is really the broadest definition of the term. Ah, wow. Well, you know what? It'll all be over soon, guys. There's only a couple more days left in the season, and then Jeter will be
off. Jeter retirement. Dude, this was even worse than the last one they did.
The Mariano Rivera?
Mariano one, yeah. Rivera.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Look, I got nothing against Derek Jeter as a player. By all accounts, he's been a model citizen when it comes to Major League Baseball. He's been...
He even gives gift baskets to girls that he brings over. Come on.
You know, gift baskets. You know, he's stayed clean as far as we know when it comes to steroids. Maybe there'll be a book that comes out that, you know, blows that myth to shreds. But, you know, as far as I know, like, there's nothing inherently dislikable about Derek Jeter. But this retirement tour that the Yankees have done, you guys have seen that hat they did, right?
Yes.
God damn, that was ugly. Like, you're the Yankees. Have some dignity. I mean, you look at the retirement of Lou Gehrig and compare it to the retirement of Derek Jeter.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it's like one – it's a circus.
Oh, my Christ, guys.
Uh-oh. What?
I am a soothsayer.
Derek Jeter –
Derek
Jeter walk-off single in the ninth. Derek Jeter
walk-off
single. Oh, I thought you already knew that. No. Oh, yeah. It's on the MLB. Yeah, it's on their website.
Oh, I just saw it came up on my Facebook that he – oh, my God. They have a live final game at Yankee Stadium. Oh, look, Derek Jeter walking around the field. Everyone give him his – fine. If this is the end of it, then fine.
Is he going to, like, sprout angel wings and ascend to the heavens?
Or antlers.
No, that was Ray Lewis.
Oh, that's right. Wrong guy, right.
Oh, my God. They got Jorge and Andy Pettit out on the field.
Of course. Because
Derek Jeter's just walking all around getting his
– Well, in other more innovation. Important baseball news, your Pittsburgh Pirates have made the playoffs 2 years in a row now.
In other baseball news, the Seattle Mariners, by defeating my Toronto Blue Jays, have – they've kept their playoff hopes alive. So
let's see what the situation is with all that right now.
I knew you guys would care about that because apparently, you know, if the Mariners can make it, it knocks the A's out.
Mm-hmm.
So. Ooh.
Derek Jeter.
Aww.
Derek Jeter.
It's going to be tough, Mike, because as it stands right now, the Mariners are 2.5 out with three to play behind Oakland and Kansas City, who are tied for both wild card spots.
I you know what? I'm just happy Kansas City looks like they're going to get in.
Yeah, it would take a real epic collapse because I think Seattle's basically got to win every game they play from here on out. Let me see what the schedules look like here.
What's the situation in the NL Central?
Pirates are a game and a half behind the Cardinals.
God damn it, Milwaukee.
But they have a shot. Milwaukee is eliminated. But the Pirates have a shot. They can still win the division.
It doesn't matter if it doesn't matter how the Cardinals get in. Once
They're in. That's it.
Once they get in, they're just going to cardinal their way to the World Series.
Yeah, probably because they're probably going to end up at most 159. They're going to end up with at most,
you know, a team
91 wins is the best they can do. So I'm thinking they'll probably get like 89 wins. So that's right. That's right about Cardinals. Right about where they need to be to win the World Series.
Team of white guys named Matt and quadruple Jesus win it all.
Oh shit! The Dodgers clinched the West. I thought the Giants might be able to hang on there, but
no.
They
had their magic number was down to one. They had Clayton Kershaw on the mound last night. What
Yeah, that's that.
I mean, he struck out a guy to end the eighth inning.
Did they just hand him the MVP and the Cy Young Award as he walked off the field?
The whole stadium just burst into MVP. MVP.
Well, I think we have our playoff. I think our playoff picture is pretty well set, guys. Barring something really weird happening with Seattle.
Well, what's the Central standings? Detroit's up 2.5 on Kansas City. Okay,
they're up two. I've got two and a half on Kansas City, but
yeah,
Kansas City is tied with Oakland for the two wild card spots.
Yeah,
Seattle's 2.5 out with three to play, so it's gonna.
I think that's it.
So who do you like, though, if Kansas City plays Oakland in the one-game playoff?
I like the Royals. I do.
See, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the Royals could score more in one game than Oakland could. And I guess it depends. It'll probably be John Lester versus James Shields, right?
More than likely, yeah. I'd have to see how the rotations are set up right now, but probably, yeah.
See, are the records tied?
Yeah, they're both 86 and 72.
Do you think it matters where they play it, whether it's in Oakland or Kansas City?
Maybe a little bit, but I mean, if it's in Kansas City, forget it. The A's won't win. But you know, it's Oakland in the playoffs, man. You know what they're going to do. If it's a 5-game series, they lose it in 5. If it's a 1-game series, they lose it in 1. Simple as that. I will say this: Seattle has the Angels to finish out the season. Angels with, other than the best record in the American League, nothing to play for, really. So, stranger things
could
happen.
The Angels blow 3 games just to screw over the A's?
Wow.
How would you feel about that, Zach?
I'd be fine with that.
Like, if the Angels just said, you know what, we're taking a knee for 4 games.
So let Seattle get in? I'd be cool with that.
3 games to screw over Oakland, yeah.
You know, Oakland shouldn't be in for 2 reasons. First off, because you know they're not going to do jack once they get in. And secondly, we don't need that ugly-ass stadium messing up the aesthetic of the playoffs. It's not necessary.
Also, screw sabermetrics. So
that too, right.
I want the Angels to have some sort of
momentum.
Momentum going.
I don't think they've
played the B squad for the majority of the games since they clinched.
Yeah, so. I'm okay with that too. I'd like, okay, if you're going to do that, set the guys down after five or six innings, but don't just sit them down for a week because that's just not good. It's not smart baseball. This is a crazy year in baseball. I mean, it's like there's only been one divisional race. That's the AL Central and the NL Central, but the other ones are just like blowouts.
But I do like the roster that we have for the playoffs.
Yeah, I do too.
The teams.
Yep.
Baltimore, okay. Detroit, Kansas City, the Angels, Oakland.
Pirates.
Washington, the Pirates.
Someone pointed out all of the close proximity World Series possibilities. We could get Baltimore, Washington, Anaheim, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
KC, St. Louis. I hate to say it.
KC, St. Louis.
That actually happened in 85. So what are we going to have as a wild card? Ooh. Giants, Pirates, huh? Be a good-looking game, uniform-wise.
Giants, Pirates, it depends on what road uniforms the Giants break out.
Looks like it's going to be in Pittsburgh.
I want the alternate with the SF. That's a clue.
Yeah, I agree. I love that one.
Let's do some quick baseball predictions, because by the time that we come together next week, we'll
okay. All right, let's do that then. All right.
Let's just do the wild card games, because we're just going to go ahead and call it.
Okay.
Oakland and Kansas City.
I like the Royals.
I was a bit hesitant just because the Royals seem like one of those too good to be true kind of things, but I'm going to go with Greg on this. It's the playoffs. It's Oakland. Oakland's going to Oakland. Kansas City.
I would prefer Kansas City only because my greatest fear at this point is Oakland derping around for the second half of the season and then beating the Angels in the first round.
I don't think you got to worry about that. They ruined that team when they traded Cespedes for Lester.
Yeah.
And then the other one is going to be what, Pittsburgh, San Francisco?
San Francisco has the better pitching, I think. But I like Pittsburgh's offense better. It's in Pittsburgh. Two straight years of playoffs for them. They're excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. Baseball's back in Pittsburgh.
I want the Pirates again.
I want the Pirates because they're my second favorite team. So.
I want the Pirates, but I'm going to go with San Francisco.
Probably a smart pick, probably.
Yeah, and then, if Pittsburgh won, then you'd have Pittsburgh and the Nationals, and then I wouldn't care who won. I'd be sad.
I think I'm one of the few people who likes Bryce Harper.
I don't mind Bryce Harper.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I like both teams.
Yeah.
I want to see the Nationals do well. There's that whole they were the Expos kind of thing, and I don't know. They just see they're one of those teams that, as both the Nationals and the Expos, has traditionally sucked. So, and I know my dad from Montreal. I know exactly what he's going to say if, like, the Expos win. If the Nationals win anything, it's like, oh, as soon as they leave, when they leave Montreal and suddenly they win stuff.
I know that feeling too.
Exactly. So it's gonna be, I think I'm actually kind of pulling for the Nationals and the Angels. That's who I want to see in the World Series. I want to see Angels versus Nationals. That's my pick. That's who I'd want to see in the World Series.
There'd be a lot of red.
Sure,
there'd
would.
Be a lot of red, but I like both uniforms in and of themselves. So,
see, now I have about 20 favorite teams that I just rank accordingly. Like, you know, the top two are the Angels and the Pirates, and we start working our way down. If the Angels get knocked out, my dream World Series is Pittsburgh, Kansas City. I don't want the Angels in Pittsburgh. I mean, that'd be great, but that would make it very tough for me. I don't know what I'd do.
I just want not Oakland, not St. Louis, and not the Dodgers.
I don't mind the Dodgers, honestly. So, like, if the Dodgers did, like, I'm not pulling for them, but if the Dodgers won it all, I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah,
are going to win the series, I guarantee.
I'm happy. The Red Sox and Yankees aren't in it, so I'm pretty much good from that.
Yeah, no Sox, yeah. No Yanks,
yep.
No Red Sox, no Yankees. But Texas. I don't like the Orioles, and I really fear the Cardinals. Just.
Oh, see, now on my favorite teams list, I think the Orioles are about eight, probably, so I'd be okay with that.
They're your eighth favorite team.
Oh, God, that's a series that I don't want to watch. The Cardinals are probably going to play the Dodgers. I don't want to watch that series. Either team wins, we all lose.
I
that was
don't
my
know.
Motto for the Red Sox-Cardinals World Series.
Yeah, I went into that thinking.
No matter who wins, we all lose.
I went into that thinking, well, they're the two best teams in baseball, so it should be. That's what we want, right? Every year, I watched about the first five innings, didn't watch any of the rest of it.
It was just like, I couldn't figure out who I wanted to win. I hate the obnoxious, like, Cardinals way bull crap, so I guess Red Sox, but I was like, no, I don't want ESPN to be happy. So I guess Cardinals.
Well, see, I'm one of the rare people that does not hate the Cardinals, so I was okay with the Cardinals winning that. That's who I wanted to win.
You're an animal.
Well, what can I say? It's a tradition thing, you know? They're a traditional team. I remember back when they were just the Cardinals. They weren't this version of the Cardinals. They were just the guys that wore the blue uniforms. And
before, you know, this unholy monster, best fans in baseball became a thing.
I think about it, though. God, they made the World Series. It seemed like every other year back then. They went to the World Series in 82, 85, and 87, kind of like they do now.
Did they win them?
They won it in 82.
Were they the worst playoff team ever? Did they win, you know, 85 games?
Maybe one of those years they weren't that great, but this is what's funny when you listen to who they played now. They beat the Brewers in 82, lost to the Royals in 85, and lost to the Twins in 87.
Jesus.
It's kind of like that in the 70s, though. If you look at NBA champions in the 70s,
right,
and you just, like, read off who won the NBA title in that decade, it's just weird.
Well, you had, like, the Warriors and the Bullets, the Sonics. Who else? The Blazers won a title.
Blazers, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Sonics, I was listening to something, and they were talking about NHL expansion teams. And it was one of my hockey shows, and they're like, well, we want you to send in suggestions for the name for the new team.
Oh, okay.
And so somebody sent in Ice Sonics.
Oh. The Ice Sonics?
Instead of just saying the Nordiques, they were the Ice Nordiques. And so it just brought up a little discussion that I thought would be interesting with you guys, because we're of the uniform inclined, the mm-hmm. logo inclined. What is your biggest pet peeve when it comes to minor league team names? Mine is that.
The ice thing?
Any animal or thing and putting ice in front of it to signify a hockey team.
That's
the ice dogs, the ice birds,
yeah,
the ice blades.
That's probably mine.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. Isn't like Pensacola, aren't they like the ice pilots?
Ice flyers,
right. Yeah, that would be it. My second pet peeve with minor league sports is the angry this with a baseball bat, hockey stick, whatever.
We've established your hate of Randiose.
I don't necessarily hate him, but maybe I do.
I think Randiose is perfect. Would be perfectly fine if one or two teams had Randiose designs.
Exactly.
But it's when every team in the minors either has a Randiose logo or has
a Randiose ripoff.
Yeah, trying to look like Randiose, then it becomes a problem.
Exactly.
Because we're talking about minor league baseball names, the Montgomery Biscuits might have the greatest identity in the history of sports.
Oh, I absolutely agree, without a doubt.
That logo is like, I want to hate that logo, but I can't.
Dude, people. I forget where I was. I know what it was. I was watching that Inside the Actors Studio one time, and he always goes, "What's your favorite word?" And I thought about it for a second. I'm like, "What is my favorite word?" I thought biscuit. Because there's nothing you can say. A biscuit is just so harmless, and it's
buttery and delicious.
Right, exactly. Yeah. There's nothing bad about a biscuit. And then when the Montgomery Biscuits came along, I was in heaven. I'm like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever.
I will say this. It's kind of in the same vein as the biscuits. My favorite minor league hockey logo is the Milwaukee Admirals.
Yeah.
The skeleton. When I first saw it, I hated it. But I've really come around to it because, you know, it's minor league hockey. It should be allowed to be, like, should be allowed to, you know.
Whimsical.
Whimsical, yeah. And
exactly, yep.
You look at what their logo was before, and it was just sort of bland and uninspired. And you got to think that, if nothing else, that logo change helped them stand out in the Milwaukee sports scene. Like, it probably got more people to take notice of them than anyone ever had before. And given that in the AHL we have two teams named the Admirals, got some CFL magic going on there. God. You know, it
Speaking of the CFL, Mike, since you're standing for the NFL, Greg and I decided that we're going to bring you on as a CFL correspondent on Business
Sports. Oh, thank
show.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got like maybe four, five, six. We've got a month and a bit more until the Grey Cup. So
the East still under 500?
The East still under 500.
They had to have won like four straight games in the last week.
Is I've heard rumblings that the crossover is in play. Is that true, Mike?
The crossover is in play, so we're probably go like Unfortunately, the crossover doesn't allow you to exclude an entire conference.
Okay.
So there will still be some terrible East teams, like at least two terrible East teams. But yes, there is going to be a team from the West that will cross over into the East for the playoffs. So we won't be spared from just a glut of 3-7 teams. Just
didn't it happen like 2 years ago where Toronto ended up being the Western Conference champion?
Yes. Yes, it was, I think. And it was like Montreal, Toronto, I think, in the finals.
How can you not love the CFL when the Toronto Argonauts were the Western Conference champion? Ladies and gentlemen, Zach's Tabs.
Right. Zach's Tabs!
That might be the best one you've ever done, Mike.
Thank you.
So the Golden State Warriors have unveiled drawings of their new arena to be built in San Francisco.
Okay.
They should have designed it differently.
Will they remain the Golden State Warriors, or are they going to go back to being the San Francisco Warriors?
I don't know, but they look like they're going to play in a toilet.
Holy
God. It looks like a toilet.
It sure does.
You got the base, you got the lid.
You sure do. Oh, you know, the only thing that would make this better is if that roof actually opened.
Oh, my God.
That would be the best thing that's ever happened in the NBA. That's hysterical. Did they realize this?
Oh, somebody's got to tell them.
Early drawings of New Warriors Arena makes building look like a toilet.
It does.
So Joe Manthe in the comments section on this story says, Kohler needs to step up and get the naming rights.
Oh, absolutely. How great would that be?
That'd be brilliant. Red Bull Munich in the Deutsche Extraliga, a.k.a. the German League. They were playing a game against Dusseldorfer.
Sorry.
And, it's Oktoberfest in Germany. Uh-huh. So for their alternate jersey, they broke out these
Oktoberfest here, too, actually.
They are wearing Lederhosen.
Wow.
And blue checkered shirts.
And it looks like wool socks.
These are great.
You think?
Yes. Like, if you're going to do an alternate jersey that's kind of weird,
yeah,
you got to go all the way and do this.
Well, they certainly did that. They
Even though
certainly
they're
kind of
like Red Bull cans, but what do you want?
They certainly did that. Wow.
Would you wear one of those?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, as far as German-themed jerseys go, it could have been a lot worse. I'm looking at you, Team Canada alternate.
Yes. All right, what's next?
During the Clemson-Florida State game over the weekend, James Winston, he was suspended. He didn't play in the game. Despite not playing, he was still the most seen player on the broadcast. He was shown on the sidelines 48 times.
Are you serious? He was the most seen player? Oh, my God.
5% of the entire broadcast was dedicated to him.
So showing him on the sideline standing there.
One of every 20 seconds was him on the bench, which means for the total 48 times, he was on screen for a full 8 minutes.
He should have had a big bucket of crab legs on the side.
Well, you know what the Florida State football team served the recruits over the weekend?
Crab legs.
Crab legs.
Of course.
Speaking of ESPN, I should have brought this up during our NFL discussion, but Ray Lewis.
How did we miss
did
that?
Did you hear about this, Mike?
When he talks about covering things up?
Some things you can cover up. Some things you can't.
This is what you
Would
get.
One of those things be, I don't know, murder?
Murder?
Stabbing a man in a nightclub, maybe?
This is what happens when you hire an idiot. They brought him in because he's Ray Lewis, and he just gets really into talking about things. But he's a fucking moron, and there's no two ways about it. And there's some things you can cover. I mean, oh, my God. The whole thing with you can cover things up, and or some you can, some you can't. The way he approaches everything, it's like he's ready to start preaching, and it drives me insane. And you know what? They got exactly what they deserved for hiring that idiot. That's how I feel about it.
I mean, during his last season in the league, he was preaching pretty much in every post-game interview of that playoff run where they won the Super Bowl. And it's like, hey, Ray, what about that part of the Bible where it says not to murder people? that's in there too.
I haven't really followed the reaction to that. What was the reaction after?
There hasn't been a whole lot of reaction to it. Just, you know,
okay.
In certain places like Deadspin and Awful Announcing, but
Yeah.
Not too much fallout from it. Just kind of,
I cannot believe we missed that in the open of the show, but that's okay. We got to it.
One of the other things that we missed in reaction to all the stuff that's going on with the NFL and domestic violence, of course, we had always talked about, well, what's going to happen when we get to the pink-wearing part of the portion of the season? Well, the NFL has lost the sponsor for its breast cancer awareness.
I called that. Back when Andy was on the show, I called
Procter
it.
And Gamble have decided they don't want their brand affiliated. They've been planning to sponsor the initiative, the players, but they're still going to wear the pink, as far as I can tell. But Procter & Gamble has decided to go ahead with a monetary donation, but scrap the plans for the pink mouth guards that the players were going to wear.
Good.
But they're still going to go ahead and wear the pink.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's just really bad idea. If they still go ahead with the whole pink thing after all of this, it's just, my God, they're going to – it's not possible he can be that freaking tone deaf. There's just no way.
I don't know. Roger Goodell looked pretty freaking tone deaf in that
That's true.
Conference.
He did.
Last two. Something awesome happened in Calgary over the weekend.
Hey,
of
dude,
course, it's Calgary.
You got to pronounce it right. It's Calgary. Come on.
The only
now.
People who pronounce it Calgary are those dirty Albertans.
So, there was a big big deal that happened in Calgary over the weekend. They set a Guinness World Record for the most Batmans to appear in one place at one time. I mean, not that there would ever need to be a hooded crime fighter in a good Canadian city like Calgary, but there were 542 Batmen in Calgary. Excuse me, it's not Batmen. It's 542 Batmans.
Right. I guess. Well, wait. No. Okay, wait a minute now. Let's back up a second here.
Yes.
Mike, you're the teacher. What would be the proper thing? Is it Batmans or Batmen?
Okay, it's tricky because grammatically speaking, it should be Batman.
Right.
But because Batman is a proper noun,
yes.
And with the very rare exception of some like weird comic offshoots, there's only ever one Batman, and Batman is a singular entity.
Ah.
Then you could you could make the argument that it is Batman's, but in my I would still prefer Batman.
So I guess the ruling is that either one would be okay in this case.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm kind of disappointed from these pictures I'm seeing. They all seem to be wearing more or less the same outfit. I was hoping to get some more variety.
Yeah, it looks like it was pretty orchestrated.
I was hoping maybe that we'd get some Adam West costumes in there. Maybe a Michael Keaton. Maybe even a George Clooney with the bat nipples. Just like one guy.
Maybe some of the stuff that like the gray suit like that Ben Affleck's going to be doing, a variation of that, but this does look very orchestrated. I'm not nearly as impressed by Calgary now.
And the last one, Alaska had a very interesting local newscast.
Oh, did they?
On KTVA, the CBS affiliate in Anchorage, they did a report on the marijuana industry.
Okay.
I guess there's a ballot measure to legalize it. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out the reporter that did the story was also the owner of the Alaska Cannabis Club.
Yes.
Oh.
And she did her news report. Basically what she does is she does the report, and then to put it out, she describes her stance, and then she says, well, in fact, I am the owner of the Alaska Cannabis Club. I'm here to promote my opinion, and I want to pursue freedom to the most of its opportunities. So there's no easy way for to do this. So fuck it, I quit.
Yep.
And then she just walked off.
Walked off.
The best part of this, though, I mean, there's that. The best part is then they cut back to her co-anchor, and the other woman is so confused. She has no idea what to do. She kind of looks up, looks down, looks up, looks down, looks down. We'll be right back. Like, she just is so...
She was just befuddled. She didn't know what to do.
I mean, she had nowhere to go because her co-anchor just quit right next to her. She's like, live TV. Oh, no.
It was so great. She goes that whole spiel and she goes, like about this job? Well, fuck it. I quit. Dropped the mic and off she went. It was just so cool. I like I said on Zach's Facebook page, I love live television sometimes. I just think it's a great
thing. I would never do it. But I love watching other people do it.
Exactly. Is that it?
I believe that's it.
All right. Well, on that note, fuck it. I quit. I really think we should just sign off that way every week.
Fuck it, I quit.
I don't know if that would be polite to just leave the listener like that. I'm going to say no.
All right. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you all next time.
Later.
Goodbye.
Spend the night inside. Please hang up and try again.